Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast. Good to have you with me all week long. I hope you can find the time to join us as we go deeper into the Word of God. I want to welcome you, no matter what format you might be catching us on today, if it's radio, if it's the website, paulwhiteministries.org, if it's our podcast, Facebook page, whatever you're finding us on, we're so glad you're with us. Please do your best to come back every day this week, because I'm telling you, you're not going to want to miss what we're bringing to you this week. Every day this week, we will be bringing to you a little more from a sermon that we preached, oh, close to a year ago. This is our journey through those Wednesday evenings from 2010. This is a message that looks at all of the different wounds that Jesus suffered at Calvary, both the beatings, the piercings, the thorns, the plucking of the hair from the face, all of those things. There are seven distinct wounds, the body of Christ, at Calvary. Seven is, of course, God's number of perfection and rest. And we're going to find some awesome truths this week through these seven wounds. This is a week that you just do not want to miss. Also, later in the week, I'm going to be telling you about a revival we're going to be holding. I'll tell you now, but I'll tell you more as the week proceeds. We will be starting this Thursday night, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night at 7 o'clock. We will be at the Hobbs Chapel Methodist Church off of 51 Highway on the way to Puxico, Missouri. That starts Thursday night, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night at 7. I hope you'll make plans to attend and be with us. We'll tell you more about that as that approaches later in the week. Let's get into the message now, continuing it every day this week. Here is perfect rest in the seven wounds of Jesus.
All right, you have your swords tonight. And by sword, of course, I mean the word. The light and the lamp. The lamp to your feet, the light into your path. All right, I'll meet you in Genesis. You go there to the second chapter. And it's easy to find, so I guess I don't need to talk very long, because you can find the first book of the Bible, very simple, second chapter. I'm going to talk to you tonight. This is a Easter appetizer, okay? Easter's coming up on Sunday. I only have so much time to preach every Sunday, so I have to hog my Wednesday night sometimes just to get you ready for Sunday. If you've noticed, that happens a lot of times, and it just happens by the Lord doing it that way. We don't always plan it. Tonight we kind of did, though, plan it that way. I want to take a little extra time, lead you up through what the cross, what Christ paid for there, and then we'll head in that direction on Sunday a little bit more. I want you to remember as well that Sunday, being the first Sunday of the month, that means at Midland, it's communion time. So you're going to get to celebrate the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to break out the matzah bread on Sunday, the striped and pierced and baked unleavened bread that the Jews used to take communion. We'll be partaking this Easter Sunday. So come back. If you've never heard the communion message preached or communion talked about in the New Covenant, you want to be here for that. But I want to talk to you tonight about perfect rest in the seven wounds of Jesus. Jesus had seven bleeding points at the cross. Seven, and I'm not going to insinuate that only seven cuts or seven individual shots to the body were made on Jesus. We know better than that. But seven individual times when the Word of God very specifically tells us that something happened to Jesus. Seven, of course, is going to come alive for us because we know numerically that numbers mean certain things. But to sort of give you an appetizer to lead you into it, I want you to see tonight that the final miracle. I was studying this today, getting ready, and I was kind of hanging out there in Gethsemane with Jesus a little bit, having a time. And the soldiers come up to arrest Jesus, and Peter pulls his sword and cuts Malchus's ear off. Remember that? And Jesus says, sheath your sword. And sheath your sword, interesting phrase, because the Bible tells us in Zechariah 13 that God unsheathed his sword at Calvary and stuck it in Jesus. So Jesus is basically telling Peter, sheath your sword of judgment, because God's going to unsheath his. Let's let God do the judging. You put your sword away. Only Luke records the next event, which happens to be the last miracle Jesus performed. Well, the first miracle Jesus performed was turning the water to wine. The last miracle, and I'm discounting the resurrection, of course, Jesus raised his own self from the dead. Try to pull that off. One thing to raise somebody else from the dead, raise yourself from the dead. Jesus did that. But the last miracle he performed prior to the cross was reaching down on the ground. Only Luke records this. This would have fascinated a doctor. Luke was a physician. Picks up Malchus's ear and puts it back on his head and heals him and then walks away. Now, the last miracle Jesus performed was to restore someone's ability to hear. When Jesus arrived in the temple, wrapped in swaddling clothes, the first man that grabbed hold of him was an old man by the name of Simeon, who had waited around and asked God, keep me alive till I hold the Messiah. And on that day, they put the Messiah up in Simeon's hands, and Simeon's name in the Hebrew means hearing. So the first, Jesus' first touch on this earth was for those who would hear him, and the last thing on this earth was to give us the power to hear him. God must take it very seriously that you hear of Jesus. And then the last thing he would do is establish man's ability to continue to hear. Isn't that good news? Now, the precursor to this tonight is found in a message we've done many times here from Song of Solomon 2:14. Song of Solomon 2:14 says, "Behold, my dove doth hide in the clefts of the rock." This is Solomon talking to his lover. Solomon's a type of Jesus. The lover's a type of the church. Solomon says to the lover, "You are my dove," showing beauty, simplicity, and gentleness. Talking to his church, "You are my beautiful, simple dove. You hide yourself in the clefts of the rock." Now, the clefts of the rock were gashes or holes or small caves within the rock that the birds could fly up underneath and protect from the wind and the rain. Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians, is the rock that was in the wilderness. Clefts in the rock are indentions or wounds in the rock. So when Solomon said, "My dove hides in the clefts of the rock," he's placing the church within the wounds that he suffered at Calvary. So the resting place for the dove, which is you and me, is to rest up in the wounds of Jesus. So now are you ready to see the seven wounds that provide perfection and rest? If we can see the seven times Jesus is pierced at the cross, we got seven individual ways to rest in Christ. And wouldn't you know they mean more than just physical wounds? They're going to mean spiritual. And so we're going to get to see seven individual things. Are you ready for the great adventure? Man, I'm ready to show you some good stuff in the Word. Go to Genesis 2:2. You're already there, I know. I'll meet you there. Simple little verse. And it says, "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made." And now here comes the key word for seven. "And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made." You're going to hear this phrase more than once tonight. It's called the law of first mention. We do a lot of Bible study here on the law of first mention, where we go find the first time a word is used, we let it set a precedent for the rest of the interpretation through the word. First time the word seventh shows up is connected with rest. God sanctifies the seventh day as a day of rest. Now, don't get hung up on seventh day now. Seventh day is Saturday, okay? You and I have better than one day of rest. Hebrews chapter 4 says Jesus hath had, we've entered into his rest. So when somebody says to you, "Do you guys honor the Sabbath down there at Midland?" Your answer should always be yes. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we honor the Sabbath. We rest in Christ all the time. Christ is our rest and our Redeemer. So seven sets a precedent. You can connect the number seven with rest. You can also connect the number seven with completion or perfection. And here's why. Because God never rests until he is completely finished. So, you can then take seven to be, if God's resting, he must be done. Now, we try to rest when we're not done, a lot. This gets us into a lot of trouble. We try to take breaks, we're not finished. And then we get frustrated because we don't get anything done. Never hang your head until it is finished. Remember what Paul told Timothy? "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." He knew he had a job to do. He wasn't ready to go home until he did it. So do the job, then finish. In Christ, it is finished. Thus, it's seven. So now we get rest, okay? Perfection and rest. You're going to see the number pop up over and over again. We don't have time to go through all the scriptures in the Word of God that show you seven, right? You do remember a couple of them, though. You remember when Joshua took Jericho, the children of Israel around Jericho, how many days? 7 days. Six of those days, it was one time. On the seventh day, how many times did they march? Seven. Seventh day, seven times. We can rest when we get the seventh lap around because that's God's completion, that's God's perfection. When Naaman, the Syrian general, covered with leprosy, shows up at the front door of Elisha, the prophet knocks on the door and says, hey, I got leprosy. They tell me you can heal me. Elisha doesn't even come to the door. He tells his servant, tell him to go dip 7 times in the dirtiest river in Palestine, Jordan. 7th dip, rest and perfection. Naaman comes up. I love what his servant says, by the way, too. This is all free bread, but I love what the servant says. Naaman goes, what? I don't want to go dip in Jordan. That's the dirtiest river in Palestine. I want to go dip here. I want to go dip there. And the servant says, Master, if he had asked you for money, you'd have paid it. Why don't you go dip in the river he told you to dip in? Just see what happens. What do you got to lose? You're going to die anyway. And, man, if God asked you to read 50 chapters a week and pray 3 hours a day and told you that was the way to get to heaven, you'd be busting your tail to do it. So why don't you try letting Jesus finish work, do the work for you, whenever Christ says that he can do this, through it is finished. And Naaman goes and dips 7 times and receives his healing. This was so ingrained in the minds of Jews. Remember what Peter says when he walks up to Jesus and says, hey, I got a guy who wronged me, but he asked for forgiveness, and I forgave him, but then he wronged me again, and he asked for forgiveness again. Shall I forgive him 7 times? Remember? Why does he say 7? Why don't he say 6? Why don't he say 8? Why don't he say 10? Because it's ingrained in the idea of Jewish heritage that 7 is enough. It's all you need is 7. And so Jesus says, no, don't worry about 7 times. Let's go for 70 times 7 times. It was Jesus' way of saying, let there be no end to how much you forgive him. Okay? So we've established 7 as rest. Let's look at 7 distinct wounds in the body of Christ. Go to Luke chapter 22. I'll warn you beforehand so you have your chance to just give up now if you don't like to turn. There's going to be a lot of it, okay? We're going to be moving through the Word a lot tonight. I've already chewed up more time than I needed to getting you to the first wound. I don't like putting numbers in my titles because it lets you know how many points are left. And you get discouraged because it's, you know, it's 7:45, we're on the second wound. You go, uh-oh, it's a long one. We got 5 more wounds to go. So I'm going to try to rush, okay, a little bit to move through these. Some will take us more time than others. That's natural. I think we have already sort of a precursory knowledge of some of them a little more than we do others. For those of you who've been with us a long time, I apologize in advance that some of the material you're going to hear for the 10th time as we regard some of those wounds. But faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the Word. You will get so excited to hear it all over again, it'll be like the very first time. I promise you. Because when I study it, it's like the very first time, and I know what's coming. So I believe it's going to happen in you, and then I believe the Lord's gave us some other special things as well. Look in chapter number 22, verse number 44. And being in agony, he, this is Jesus, we're in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Here is your first wound of Christ on his way to the cross. The first time he bleeds, we don't ever see him bleed in his life until now. And the first moment that he bleeds, it is sweat as great drops of blood. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all give great detail about the Garden of Gethsemane. John only mentions it, and he don't even use the word Gethsemane. He just says a garden. Now, the reason for that I believe is John is the only book of all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Only John was written to the sinner.
That is all that we have time for today. Thank you for listening to the message titled Perfect Rest in the 7 Wounds of Jesus. For your own personal copy of this message, we'll send it to you, our listener, postage paid and free of charge. If you'll contact us at the ministry and ask for it by its title, Perfect Rest in the 7 Wounds of Jesus. Until next time, this is Pastor Paul White, hoping you have a great day. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902, or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.